In case you didn't know it, tick season is here in Virginia. And people and pets need to be on the alert for these little vampires. They attach themselves in cozy spots on the skin, and then they begin feasting on your blood. The problem is not what the tick takes away from the bloodstream, it's what he leaves behind. Tick saliva can carry bacteria that causes serious diseases like Rocky Mountain spotted fever and Lyme's disease. There are 9 kinds of ticks in Virginia. Each one has its own set of pathogens. And the most prevalent is the brown dog tick, which lives year-round in the South. And it can complete its life cycle indoors. And dogs are their favorite host. Ticks do not leap, fly, or fall out of trees. They have to wait for somebody to pass by in order to get a meal. So you or your pet could pick up a tick just by walking through the grass. Which is why I give our dog Theo a flea and tick pill once a month. Where's Theo? Where's Theo? This is his big moment on the big screen. Where is Theo? Oh, there he is. There's Theo. And he's protected from tick bites, or so I thought. And that's why I was concerned when I saw a tick crawling on that white fur. And Ben ran for his handy-dandy spiral tick remover machine, and he extracted the pest. And I thought, why didn't that tick die before it got that far? Theo's protected. So I had to do some research. That's when I discovered oral tick medicine doesn't prevent tick bites. It is not a deterrent. The tick can still attach to the dog's skin. It can still bite and suck the dog's blood. But when it does, the medicine in the blood blows up the tick's nervous system, and then it dies. It has to bite to activate the meds. And then the tick and its bacteria are overpowered by the blood. The meds are not deterrents, they are pesticides. They're 99.9% effective compared to 88.4% with topical meds. They don't prevent, they kill. That bite is the kiss of death. So what's in the blood? This experience started me thinking about blood in general. In fact, it opened up a whole new vein of thought. Brother Shed. And so what does this Bible tell us? The life of the body is in the blood. Very, very simple biology tells us there are 4 components in human blood. There are the red blood cells that carry iron and other nutrients throughout the body. They nourish the body by carrying oxygen to the lungs, and they cleanse it by removing carbon dioxide when we exhale. Then we have the platelets that clot the blood and prevent bleeding. They help heal injuries and cover wounds. The white blood cells boost the immune system. They fight viruses and bacteria and protect from infection. And plasma is the liquid that makes up more than half of the blood's total volume. It carries blood cells and platelets throughout the body by the circulatory system. The blood provides nourishment, cleansing, healing, and protection. Think of that. And the blood speaks. Every blood test reveals what's going on in the body. Is there disease? Are you eating the wrong things? The blood knows all about you, and it will tell on you. There is a message here. If human blood has so much power to sustain life, what about the blood of Jesus? Back to the ticks. Jesus gets us when we're vulnerable. We know life happens. You don't have to do anything to get a tick bite. They're just waiting for you to walk by. And life can take a bite out of us too. It can take a bite out of your finances, your health, your family, your relationships. And Solomon wrote about this in Ecclesiastes. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. And in the New Living Translation, it says, it is all decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. As far as ticks are concerned, it's the wrong place at the wrong time. Pastor Matt reminded us of this 2 weeks ago. Everyone will face storms. Jesus gets us when we suffer because he's been there. The real danger is when the enemy comes to our wounds to suck the life out of us and to inject the pathogens of anger, fear, bitterness, and depression. His scheme is to infect us with bacteria that will destroy from within. We are vulnerable when life hits us hard, and it's easy to question and to doubt and to lose faith. But when the enemy taps into the blood that flows through a believer's life, the blood of the Lamb of God, his plan stops there. He hits the boundaries. He's overpowered. It's death to the weapons he has formed against us. And John writes in Revelation, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Remember in The Sound of Music, that song called My Favorite Things? I'm not going to sing it, but I have Christianized it. When the tick bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember the blood of the Lamb, and then I don't feel as bad, and I drive the devil mad. We may die the death of a martyr for the cause of Christ, but we don't have to die by the bite of a demonic tick and the bacteria of Satan's lies. Jesus met the ticks at Golgotha. The cross opened the wounds. The bite of suffering was a physical experience for him. But it was the taunts that carried the bacteria of doubt. These were spiritual attacks intended to infect the mind and destroy the resolve and mission of Jesus. If you are the Son of God, they questioned his identity and rejected his messianic claim. The high priest, along with the religious scholars and leaders, were right there mixing it up with the rest of them, having a great time poking fun at him. He saved others. He can't save himself. King of Israel, is he? Then let him get down from that cross. We'll all become believers then. He was so sure of God. Well, let him rescue his son now, if he wants him. He did claim to be God's son, didn't he? And then even the two criminals crucified next to him joined in the mockery. That's in the Message version. It really makes it clear. Did you notice? These were the same words Satan used when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. If you are the Son of God. Don't listen to Satan's ifs. This is usually his approach. If, then why? And the doubt sets in. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. They questioned his purpose. And the soldiers mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. We read that in Luke chapter 23, verse 36. But Jesus didn't come to save himself, but to lay down his life as a ransom for many. He came submitting to the will of God to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. This was his mission and his purpose. And Satan tried to divert him from God's plan. Here is an important question, and probably the most important one of all. Did God abandon Jesus on the cross? He may have felt that way. But did God forsake Jesus? Or did the enemy try to make him think that he did? Dr. Wave Nunnally, an Assemblies of God scholar and professor, addressed this in an article entitled, Did God Abandon Jesus on the Cross? He called it a common misconception. And here's the quote. In no place in Scripture does God ever turn his back on an appropriate sacrifice offered with a repentant attitude. Thank God for this, because if he did, no one would stand a chance of receiving forgiveness and reconciliation back to him. So what is happening here? Well, we know Jesus is quoting Psalm 22, where David had the feeling of being abandoned, but ended up seeing God's greater plan. The psalm begins with a lament. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? But as we read through that psalm, the tone begins to change. And verse 24 gives the answer to that cry. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. The religious leaders knew Psalm 22. It was a messianic prophecy. And Jesus knew he was fulfilling that prophecy right before their eyes. And he was drawing their attention to it. And when Jesus cried, "It is finished," he was quoting the last verse of this psalm, verses 30 and 31. Posterity will serve him. They will tell of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet to be born, that he has done it and that it is finished. Amen. In Isaiah 53:3, we read, "He was rejected by man. They deemed him God forsaken, but that didn't mean God forsook him. Jesus was a perfect sacrifice. And where was God? 2 Corinthians 5:19, "For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them." God was right there. The taunts and lies never entered the spirit of Jesus. The bacteria didn't get into his system. The bites only released these things: forgiveness for his tormentors. Father, forgive them. Mercy to the thief, today in paradise. Love to Mary, his mother, and to John, his beloved friend. And trust in the Father's plan when he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." His blood was infused with all the components of his divinity. All that made him God, the supernatural force. It not only carried life, it carried eternal life. It didn't cleanse dead cells, it cleansed sin. When Satan bit into the blood, his kingdom was overthrown. He couldn't infect the holy nature of Jesus. He couldn't defeat the perfect blood sacrifice of the sinless Son of God. His plans died that day. His attempt to derail Jesus from his mission failed, as redemption was unleashed for the sins of the world. Indeed, God's purpose was accomplished, finished. And so was the career of the enemy. That's what was in Jesus' blood, and it overcame the sting of death. The enemy uses the same technique on us when we go through tough times. He tries to poison the mind and embitter us toward God. Hate your enemies. Never forgive those who hurt you. Question your identity as God's child. Save yourself. Look out for number one. And where is God? He isn't there for you. Jesus gets us when we're under spiritual attack because he's heard the voice of the accuser. He knows what it feels like when the enemy tries to invade our thoughts with lies about who we are and our relationship with God. And Jesus wants us to know that it is finished. Our hope, salvation, and protection have been provided. Show the tick the blood. Now, for the record, if you haven't figured this out, I firmly believe God did not forsake Jesus in his darkest hour, and he won't forsake us. Our defense is in the blood, because the blood fights for us. It's the antidote to sin. Blood has cleansing power. It washes away sin. It's our justification. Judgment is canceled by the blood. We are sanctified by the blood and made holy. The blood gives us entrance to the holy place, into the presence of God. The blood purifies the conscience. There is no condemnation. The blood signs the new covenant, the contract, the promise God made to forgive sins when we repent. The blood gives us redemption. We are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. The blood guarantees our home in heaven. It brings those who were far off near to God. The blood is available for every tribe, tongue, and nation, and it cries out to God in our behalf. The blood gives peace between us and God, and the blood brings healing. By his stripes we are healed. The New Testament is saturated with the blood of Jesus. You got to read it. Look for all those passages that mention the blood. How do we access these benefits of the blood? Well, it comes in the love package. When we surrender to Christ, we receive a transfusion. His blood flows into us. His life flows into us. Old things pass away. We are forgiven of our sin and cleansed, given a new life altogether. We internalize immunity to sin by ingesting the Word of God, feasting on truth, renewing our minds, becoming the home of the Holy Spirit, recognizing His power is at work in us. Theo has protection from fleas and ticks because the medicine, which is toxic to fleas and ticks, flows through his veins. And it starts when he ingests that pill. That pill. Not a pretty thing, but when he eats that, he's safe. But he needs that medicine renewed every 30 days. I have to remember to give him his pill. And if I forget the date, Theo is open to attack. So to help me remember, the company that makes the tick medicine includes stickers in the package to put on the calendar to show when the meds are due. Now, when it comes to our spiritual protection, Jesus knew we needed to be reminded. So he gave us a sign to help us keep his sacrifice in focus. It was the bread and the wine. And Jesus said, as often as you do this, remember me. Eating and drinking were daily realities. And Jesus said in his prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And wine was a common accompaniment to meals. So this tells me we must remember the sacrifice and the power of the blood daily. Just remembering will activate our faith. Jesus gets us. He knows we get distracted. The provision is there in the blood, but we have to remember to access it, to never forget what he has done for us, what he gives to us through the blood, to remember the power that covers and protects us from the enemy's plans, to remember the covenant based on the blood, the promises that are sealed and assured by the blood. The blood of Jesus gives us access to a perfect, holy God. It gives us membership into his family. That blood ushers us into the presence of God tonight when we pray. It gives us audience at the throne of God. Never forget the power, authority, protection, and provision of the blood. Jesus gets us when we're vulnerable. And he says, here's my body. Here's my blood. Remember me. So when the ticks come, give them a taste of the blood. Amen. Lord, we just thank you again for your marvelous gift. You have done so much for us, and you've made it available to us. We thank you for the blood. And Lord, let us never forget the covering, the protection, the power that you've placed at our disposal. And the fact we can come to you freely, entering your presence through the blood. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There's a song that I wanted us to sing tonight. Now, people who are watching online won't be able to hear or see this, but this was a song that we often used at Cedar Road following communion. In fact, it was my husband's favorite communion song, I Under the Blood. And it has a lot of good message in it and good theology. If you know it, please join in.
Apply to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of